know, we get this thing of, oh, there's not many here, you know. For various reasons, people are not here, but all that matters is God is here. That's all that matters. Doesn't matter about the man at the front. Doesn't matter about the worship band. Doesn't matter. It's all about God. And sometimes we can lose that sight. We can lose that focus. But the main thing is that God is here. And one of the things that's really encouraged me, and I mean really encouraged me lately, is the fact that the ministry that we've received into the fellowship has been amazing. You know, people have come and they've spoken and they've challenged. Somebody spoke a while back ago, and I've never felt so uncomfortable in all my life in a sermon, in a service. You know, I've been a Christian 18 years, and I just felt like rolling up and dying. You know, it was such a challenging sermon, and it was good that we have people come into this church and people within this church that bring a new challenge to us as Christians. I was really challenged again this morning by Steve Preston's ministry, and it makes you think. It's good when people get up and make you think of what God's word says, isn't it? It's really good. And I want to bring to you a well-known scripture and a well-known passage of scripture. If you've got your Bibles, I want you to turn to John 3. I'm not going to bring anything new, but I want to just focus on something. I want to focus tonight on just one portion of scripture from John 3. I just want to build the picture. You know, if you look at John 3, to be honest with you, it's really at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. You know, Jesus in John 2 had turned water into wine, and his name had started to spread around, and he had started to challenge people in what they believed and in what they did. And in those days, there were the religious people of the day. It's a bit like today, isn't it? Very much the religious people of the day. And they were concerned, rightly so in one way, of this man named Jesus who'd come and started to challenge what they believed and what they'd done. And a man named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, says he came by night. I don't know whether he was sent by the Pharisees or the Sadducees, but he came by night. And it says in verse 2, this man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. And then Jesus expounded, spelt out the reason why he came. You know what I like about Jesus? Jesus never, mumbled. He never, you know, went around the bush. He spelt it straight out. And there's many things here we could take. We can do about 20 sermons. But I just want to look at verse 17. And this has spoken to me for a while. And one of the things, like I say, I like about the ministry we've had, it's made me look at things a little bit differently. I liked Steve Preston a while ago. He spoke about what the gospel was. You know, the gospel is good news. It's good news. It's good news. Jesus said to the disciples, go and preach good news, the gospel. It wasn't bad news, it was good news. And you know, there's enough bad news around as it is, isn't there? There is enough bad news around. You read the papers, you listen to the news, you listen to the radio. It's bad news. But Jesus said to Nicodemus, I've come to give good news. It says this, you know, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. He didn't. He had a right to. Of course he had a right to. He had a right again to flood the world. He has a right today to destroy the world. He has every right. But that the world through him might be saved. You know, Jesus spoke words, but his actions spoke more than his words. Does that make sense? His actions spoke more than his words. I believe, you know, if we didn't have the word of God, right? If we didn't have the word of God, and we need the word of God, don't get me wrong, we can still understand what Jesus done for us. He didn't come to condemn us, but he came to save us. He came to give us life. And in John 10, it says abundant life, isn't it? He did not come to condemn. You know, sometimes I like to have a look in the dictionary. I don't know about you. I'm not the most brilliant guy that ever was. So I had a look in the dictionary of what condemned meant. And I've only got one of those little ones. You know, it's the Collins Pocket Dictionary. I'm poor, really. I can't afford one of these big ones. And it says this, okay, about condemn. There's four things that it means. And we think one word means one thing, but it means four things. And I'm going to look at them in a minute. But it's the first one, express disapproval of. Secondly, sentence, e.g., he was condemned to death. Thirdly, forced into an unpleasant situation. And fourthly, declared unfit to use. That's what it means. But God came that those would be pushed aside, that we wouldn't be condemned. But I'm just going to look quickly at these. And the first one, express disapproval of. God does not like sin. That's a mild way of putting it. It says in the word, isn't it? It stinks to him. He can't be around sin. You know, he does not like sin. And it is the sin that separates us from God. When we are condemned, when the world is condemned, it separates us from God. God loves the sinner, not the sin. I liked what Steve said this morning. We were talked a bit political. He likes politics like me and you, Moira. And he said he went to Greenbelt and he said that there was a guy, you know these bands they have of What Would Jesus Do? And he had a t-shirt and they said, Who Would Jesus Bomb? Huh? It makes sense. Who would Jesus bomb? You know, I don't know if many of you know this. I was saying this to Cyril this morning. George Bush and Tony Blair reckon that they prayed before they invaded Iraq. So is it God's will for us to bomb and kill? Of course it isn't. Of course it isn't. God loves the sinner, but not the sin. That should be our message. A message of good news. Of good news. You know, verse 16 says, For God so loved the world. Isn't it? Yes, Jesus doesn't express disapproval of sin. But he came for a greater reason and a greater cause. Amen? Amen, isn't it? All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There are consequences to sin. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ. Good news. Good news. This gift is free that God wants to give us. But he knew there were consequences to sin. When God looked down from heaven, he did not send his anger upon mankind, but instead sent his only begotten son. As parents, could we send our sons and daughters to die for a world that doesn't deserve it? Does it deserve it? Do we deserve the grace and the mercy of God in our lives? And I don't think there's any murderers here, is there? Is any murderers here? No. There's no murderers. My son likes to murder people on his little games and shoot them. But do you know what I'm trying to get at? God sent his only begotten son to die upon a cross so that man could have eternal life, that man would not know death, that man would not know hell. But instead, he sent his only begotten son to save mankind from their sin and to bring back mankind into the place of approval. You know, tonight, God approves of us. He likes us. He not only likes us, he loves us. That's what he's saying again. You know, in John, in that chapter 3, everything that Jesus said, it was pointing to the fact that God loves us. It was pointing to the fact that God didn't have to love us. He could have sent great things upon this earth to destroy this earth. But he didn't, because he loves us. He sent his son to die upon that cross so he could bring us back into that place of approval in his sight. He approves of us. He likes us. He loves us. No matter who we are. You know, I love those stories of these terrible men who have done horrific, horrible things. And yet God stretches out his hand. God stretches out his hand of love and touches their lives. I remember Steve Hill saying once about a serial killer in America. I can't remember his name. His nickname was like the Son of Sam or something. And God in prison touched his life and he became born again, spirit-filled, changed person. Amen. This is the good news. This is the good news. He has sent his son. It says in Luke 9:56, For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Amen. Amen. He didn't come to destroy lives. You know, how many of us hear the things happen in people's lives and say, oh, why did God let that happen? Why did God let these little children die? Why did God do this? Why did God do that? The truth of it is, he didn't. He gave man his own free will. The word of God is truth. He did not come to destroy our lives. But somebody did. Somebody has come to steal and destroy. But God has come so that we can tell people there is good news. He has come to bring lives back together. Broken lives. Lives which are in pieces. Lives where there is no hope. Lives where people look at themselves and they hate looking in the mirror at themselves. You know, I know we're a bit older in life, but one of the things we need to grasp hold of, it's the fact there are young people out there, they look in the mirror and they hate themselves. They don't like what they see. But you know what? God loves them. God loves them. He loves the most unlovable people. I've said this before. There are people out there, my friend, and I will be honest, that I do not like. And God challenged me to pray for them. And you know, that's one of the hardest things that God has ever asked me to do, to pray for these people. You know, we want God's wrath to come down upon people. But God instead sent his only begotten son. That is the good news. There is no condemnation for them. But God has come to save them. Secondly, sentence. You know, let's go back to the beginning. Sentence, isn't it? There is a sentence upon mankind. When mankind fell in the Garden of Eden, we were sentenced to. Says this in Genesis 3:16-19. To the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. Then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground from your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, from dust you came, and to dust you shall return. There was a sentence upon Adam and Eve. They fell from the grace of God. They fell from the relationship that they should have had. The truth being, the devil, if you read about it, wanted to be like God. That is why he was thrown out of heaven. He wanted to be like God. And then he said, what did he say to Adam and Eve? You eat of this tree, you'll be like God. That's what he said, virtually. You eat of this tree, you will be like God. And they fell from grace. We can never, do you know, we can never be like God. Never. It's not in our nature. You know, but they were sentenced. And do you know, their sentence was as well. They were removed from the Garden of Eden and they were separated from God. Do you know, that is the greatest sentence that mankind has ever had, that they were separated from God. When they were in the garden, they had relationship, fellowship with God. And that was broken there and then. And do you know what? Jesus came so that we could have fellowship and relationship with God once again. Isn't that wonderful? Because that is what we're made for. What is, you know, I expect many of us have asked that question. I asked it before I was a Christian. What are we here for? I think that was one of my greatest questions in life that I asked myself, and I kept asking myself before I was a Christian, what am I here for? And people today are looking for the same thing. And the reason we are here for, God made us to have fellowship with him. Simple as that. No other reason to have fellowship with him in the garden. And that has been broken. That was broken. And you know, in the heart of God, in the heart of God, we need to realize the desire of God, the desire of God in his heart, in the heart of God, which we can know, is to have that fellowship with you and me. That is his desire. We all have desires, and that is the desire of God. Place. Only him and him alone could take our place in our sentence. Isn't that wonderful? Says this, for I deliver to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. God had a plan and a purpose. He had a plan and a purpose, and he was waiting for the perfect time. Jesus came at the perfect time. It wasn't an accident that he was born 2,000 years ago. It wasn't like they rolled a dice and said, all right, we'll send him on whatever date he was born. God had a plan and a purpose. And that plan and purpose was perfect. Everything that God does is perfect. Don't we listen? Everything God done is perfect. When he saved you and me, that was perfect. In work, we have one day a year, and it's called the perfect day. And what it means is everything has to be perfect in work. The shelves have to be filled. I expect Donna have told you and Steve about it. Everything has to be perfect. The shelves have to be perfect. The stock in the warehouse has to be perfect. Everything has to be perfect. Do you know what? Every day is a perfect day with God. Every day. Every day when people are being saved, it is a perfect day. That is the good news. The sentence was death, but God stepped into time and gave Jesus, who stood in our place, the perfect time. We have good news. We have good news that Jesus has come to save. I had a T-shirt a few years ago, and I actually bought it from Burton's. And I had a picture of Jesus. You know, the statue in Rio de Janeiro. It had a picture of Jesus like that and a football. And it had, and he's like diving across, and it said, Jesus saved. You know, the world needs to know what we mean by saved. Set free from sin. You know, Jesus, when he was speaking to Nicodemus, he was telling, set free from sin. Sin no more. He stood in our place so that we could know life forevermore. A life which is different from the world. Different from the world. You know, I don't know about you. I don't know those of us who have been Christians a long time. But don't you? There's certain things that I believed when I first became a Christian. Not doctrinal things, but things that I believed that I don't actually believe now. You know? One of the things I was very much into when I first became a Christian was separation from the world. I really believed in separation from the world. And I very much was into kind of communes. Did people know, you know, you two, the pop group Bono and that? Do you know, they came out of a commune, a Christian commune. In his book, they lived in, you know what I mean by a commune? Like all the people all living together, Christians living together. But I believed that. And over the years, my thinking has changed in the fact of what Jesus said. He said to go into the world. We're to be different. And I'll go back to what people have said to you. You know, we need to understand and have the mind of God. You know, we want to tell people about the good news, but we're not willing to go to A, B, and C and tell them. Can I tell you something? People won't come into this place. You have to go out and tell them. You know, and that's what Jesus did, didn't he? Amen? You know, we have good news to tell people. And Jesus has come and stood in that place. There is no more sentence for mankind. It's been paid. It's been paid. The death and the debt has been paid. You know, did you know in law, I think it's still the same. If you have been found not guilty, you can't be retried. Isn't it? It's changed, is it? Thanks, Ken. But there was a law, wasn't it? You know, only last month, was it? Oh, thank you, Murray. I should have preached this last month. And, you know, but God has paid the price for all man. Not just for us here, for everybody. Amen? Okay, thirdly, forced into an unpleasant situation. As I've said before, to me, the unpleasant situation is that mankind found itself separated from God. You know, like I've said it before, I can remember on one occasion being in a nightclub and being extremely drunk. I mean extremely drunk, sitting on a stool. I'm just thinking to myself, and there's got to be more to life than this. There's got to be more. And through my situations in life and through things that I went, I started to realize that something was missing. And you know, there are thousands of people out there. They are in a situation where they think something's missing in my life. Something is missing. I think Steve mentioned this a little bit this morning. And we need to go out and tell them that they have to have fellowship with God. Because it was broken by man's disobedience. You know, when we sin and we feel guilty, we do, don't we? That separates us from God. That unpleasant situation when we sin separates us from God. Yet, when we are in fellowship with God, that unpleasant feeling is gone. God says, be holy as I am holy. You know, the gospel is good news. The good news is, and people are searching. I've always been that type of person where I wanted to be different from the world. Always have been and always will be. And the good news is be different. Be different. And we can be different. It saddens me, my friend. It saddens me when you hear of Christians who've been married for 30 years and they get divorced. It saddens me. It saddens me when I hear of Christian in high places of ministry and they fall from grace. It saddens me. It should sadden us. It should. We should never gloat over anyone who has fallen. But we need to be different. There is a void in our lives when we disobey God. But Jesus has come to save us. He has come to bring us back into fellowship with God, isn't he? Amen. He's come back. And lastly, declared unfit, useful. Do you know, I spoke about this a couple of weeks ago, didn't I? God uses us and he wants to use us. He has come that we may have partnership with him. Romans 8:1 says, "This is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." Amen. Amen. There is no condemnation. Condemnation comes from the devil. If we are condemned tonight, it is from the devil. It is not from the throne room of God. Amen. God has come to use us for the extension of his kingdom. He will use no other but us. There are many reasons why Jesus came. The main reason, yes, was to save us. But there are like A's, B's and C's. And he wants to use us for the extension of his kingdom. To tell people. We can stand and know that we've been accepted. That we are approved of. That there is no condemnation for those of us who know Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour. If we know Christ as Lord and Saviour in our hearts, we can know freedom, set free from condemnation. That is what Jesus has come to do. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. He came to set the captives free. Those that were in the bondage of sin, he came to set the captives free. To declare the acceptable day of the Lord. That is what we are saying to people. You come and bow the knee to Jesus. Guilt will be gone. Let me tell you something. I expect Moira will tell you this. And this is a true fact. Most people who are in mental institutions, they're there for one reason, because they are guilty. They are full of guilt. But Jesus has come to set them free. Hallelujah. Condemnation does not come from God, but from the devil, who has come to what? Steal and destroy. And that is what he is doing this very second. He is stealing and destroying people's lives. And God says, I have come to set the captives free, to bring hope. Hope. Jesus said, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but through the world might be saved. He has come to give us hope. A hope which isn't a wishy-washy hope. A hope which is steadfast and certain. I want to say this. God hasn't called us to be successful here, but he's called us to be faithful. He has called us to be faithful. And the faithfulness is that we tell people about Jesus. That's all he has asked us to do. It's to tell people that Jesus loves them. The good news is simple. The core of the good news. Yes, we can't put the gospel in a nutshell. But the core is that Jesus loves them no matter what. Warts and all. Wrinkles, bald heads the lot. You know, oh. My friends, I have seen some sights in my time. I remember many, many years ago going to a teen challenge thing. I've seen guys 6 foot, built like us, skinheads tattooed across their forehead and telling people how they love Jesus. That is what it's about. We don't come into the world to condemn the world, say you rotten, filthy sinners. do we? We might feel like it sometimes. We might feel like it sometimes. But we come with good news. With good news. That there is no condemnation. We come and tell people to repent, to turn. Yeah, we need to remove some of the jargon. We need to tell alcoholics, you've got to stop drinking. We've got to tell drug addicts to stop injecting themselves. We've got to tell people who are having affairs, whose marriages are in a mess. I know of a couple, and you won't know them. They've been married not that long ago. They're both in their 50s. Well, no, one's in their late 40s, one's in their 50s. And they both like to drink, and after they've had a drink, they're both fairly violent, so you can imagine. They give each other a good thumping every Friday, Saturday night and midweek. And they don't actually live together anymore. They're still married. They're still whatever, what married people do. And, you know, it's easy to say to them, you know, you're sinners, you need to, you know, turn to God. But the thing is, if they both stop drinking, that's what would sort out their marriage. And sometimes, my friends, we need to have wisdom and go up to people and tell them the truth. Tell them the truth. And say to them, if you want your marriage to work, if you want your marriage to succeed, if you want your children to grow up in a family environment, you've got to stop drinking. Sometimes we beat around the bush. Sometimes, yes, we need to be diplomatic sometimes and wise. But other times we need to go straight to the point and tell people. Because God was like that. You watch God. God was like that. But we have good news for people. For there is no condemnation tonight. There's for us as Christian. We can walk in freedom. Yes, we do fall. We do sin. We do. And we need to live a lifestyle of repentance, which I've spoken about. Yes, of course we do. God disapproves sometimes of our sins. But he still loves us. He's still willing. He is faithful and just to forgive us. That's what the word of God says. Is that right? He is faithful and just, not to just forgive us. Because don't forget, we are not members of an exclusive club. But he is faithful and just to forgive the world of their sins. And we need to bring that to the world today. That God loves them. He hasn't come to condemn them, to kick them. You know, I have a manager in work, and if you're down, he's got a habit of kicking you a bit harder. He's got no motivation skills whatsoever. If anything's going wrong and you're down, he just gives you another kick. God didn't come to kick us. Do you know what I mean? God didn't come to kick us. But he came to lift us up. Lift us up. Lift us up. And he said, go into all the world. All the world with good news. Not bad news, good news. Let's just pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I just want to praise you and thank you that you are a God who has come with good news. Yeah, you could have condemned the world. You could have destroyed us. You could have done whatever you want, but you didn't. You sent your only begotten Son, Jesus, that we may have life. And Lord, tonight, I just pray this word will be in our hearts, that as we speak to people about you, that only good things will come out, only good things. Give us wisdom, give us boldness, give us opportunities, and Lord, give us the harvest, we pray, in Jesus' wonderful name, amen.